And in the past week, details about former Army scientist Bruce Ivins' possible role in the 2001 anthrax attacks have been pouring out. His brother Tom has said he believes Ivins was behind the attacks, but many of Bruce Ivins' friends and former colleagues have expressed disbelief. Over the weekend, Ivins' other brother gave his only media interview. Charles Ivins sat down with NPR's Dina Temple-Raston following a memorial service. He talked about his younger brother and the evidence against him, evidence Charles Ivins had not previously seen.
The church where the family held Bruce Ivins' memorial service was packed. Some colleagues remembered a good friend. They recalled cute poems Bruce had composed for retirement parties or small jokes he played. So much was said by others in the church, Bruce's brother Charles said later he had trouble coming up with original stories.
I got up there and I realized that almost everything I was going to talk about had already been covered.
So Charles decided to just speak from his heart. He talked about how he felt about Bruce. He talked about the annual vacations they took together. Later, I asked him to describe his brother.
Well, if you want three qualities, I'd say industrious, intellectual, and witty.
Was he kind?
Oh, yeah. I think he was very considerate and compassionate. I remember with my aunt, when she was ailing, and he would come over and sit on our bed and talk to her and read her a book and that sort of thing. So, I mean, he had a very sensitive side to it.
Charles talked about what his brother was like and whether he could imagine him possibly being the person who took deadly anthrax, ground it to a powder, and sent it through the mail to journalists and lawmakers. Five people died after opening the letters, and 17 got sick.
For me to accept the idea that he would do something like that, I just cannot imagine that ever.
But as we talked, it became clear that Charles had never actually seen the evidence against his brother. He had never read the affidavits accompanying the FBI's search warrants. And as he read the evidence, for the first time, wordlessly handing pages to his wife Nita, pointing out passages, darkness crept into his expression.
I'm stunned now. I'm just totally stunned.
He picked up the affidavits and straightened them on the table before him. Then he sank into himself and put his face in his hands.
The evidence that you showed me today has really gotten me, threw me for a loop. It really did. That's all I can say. It really just flabbergasted me.
As Charles and his wife read the affidavits, they appeared to wordlessly fill in the blanks, the way only people who knew Bruce could do. They read the poems he wrote about feeling like he was two people instead of just one. They read about Bruce sending packages to someone with a fictitious return address. They winced. They seemed to know who Bruce was sending packages to, even though the name on the affidavit was redacted. Then Charles sighed.
It's just tough for me to deal with, that's all. It's just tough for me to deal with.
Does it seem like the brother you know?
No, it does not. That's the part that just stuns me.
Did things in the affidavit seem to ring true? Did others seem hollow or false? Charles shook his head.
I'm not going to go there. I'm just, I don't know what to think. It's difficult. It's difficult.
Do you think it's possible the FBI is right?
Well, it's always possible the FBI is right.
Charles emphasized that he didn't necessarily think the FBI was right this time about his brother, but he didn't rule it out either. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, Washington.